In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As we think of this time, and again, recognizing and the independence of our nation, I appreciated Brother Brad, as he spoke this morning and pointed out so well, the foundation of our nation and the development of it was based upon Christian principles. The lost and those who rebel against God are trying to say that's not true, and yet all evidence points to that, in that our forefathers and those in developing all of the things that's involved in a great nation that God has for us was based upon his teachings, and we need to realize this more than ever. Many of you probably that are here tonight, and some of you, there's some that probably wouldn't, but I can remember the time in high school that we had in Texas. Now, I don't know about Oklahoma, but in Texas we had general assemblies, and where the whole school was gathered together, and there we would have the principal to speak to us and different ones. But we would always have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And this always excited me. And as a young person, this was something that was spoke well to my heart. And then we would have prayer. In the last couple of years, junior and senior year, because of surrendering to preach and the witness, I had the privilege of leading the school in prayer. This wasn't something we had to hide. This wasn't something that we were be embarrassed about. It was something that was an honor and a privilege, and everybody was in support of having prayer. Now, there were some that were there who probably didn't want to pray, but that was their privilege. There was no uproar about it. There were no things going on to try to stop the prayer. Now, today, that's not the case. Now, today, it's not allowed in many places. Now, there are some schools, and praise God for it, that is not buckling under. They're still having prayer in school, and praise God for that. But generally, things have changed tremendously. In this passage, it talks about that we are to stand fast in the liberty that God has given us. And what a privilege we have to do that. If we don't, we're going to turn back again to bondage and to slavery. I want to remind you of the Pledge of Allegiance. Many of you know it by heart, but I want to point out a few things in this pledge that we need to draw our attention to and realize. The pledge starts out, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. In trying to picture our nation as one, and trying to focus on our nation, we might want to pick a bird, as we have the eagle. We might want to pick some other things. But the flag is something that we can always have. Every home can put up a flag. Every community can put up a flag. And I was taught that as we pledged our allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, that flag representing our nation and all that's involved in it, we were to treat it as such. We would not allow that flag to touch the ground. If we were carrying the flag, or if we were marching with the flag, especially with children and young people and Vacation Bible School, this was always a challenge. And as the kids would want, I want to be a flag bearer. Can I carry the flag? And as we would say, okay, we'll practice with that. Do not let that flag touch the floor. And they would get to that pole and they'd start walking out with it, and it'd begin to get down. I said, don't let it touch the floor. We had to emphasize that with the young ones in their minds. You do not let that flag touch the floor. Yes, sir. Go right ahead. And we need to. And the flag was with respect. And there are things that you were not to do with the flag. And today we've lost that respect. No longer do people really realize all that's involved in how to handle a flag and how to deal with it and to protect it. It represents our freedom and all that we have in our nation. And so the pledge, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And then the next phrase of that pledge, very important. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. That's a very important statement. One nation under God. And then it says, I'll come back to that in just a moment, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Indivisible means that it's not to be divided. Our nation was designed to be one nation. That was based upon the principle of God's word. We serve one God. Our churches, we're to be one and we're to come in unity. And Jesus emphasized this throughout the scriptures and his teachings that we must be in unity. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And yet, in our churches as well as in our nation, we have designed things to do that divides our nation and divides our churches. An example of that, for instance, is that as every time I would go to a church and to pastor a new church, I would be examining the committees of that church. And with a large congregation or even a small congregation, we try to give responsibilities to individuals, and we will assign responsibilities to a committee to do certain things, and then to report to the church, and the church make that decision as one body, not being divided by committees. But then we had the idea, as we'd put somebody on a committee, if they didn't fuss about being on that committee, we'd leave them on there the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. It got to the point in a tradition that if you had put on a committee, you were there for life. And the only way anybody went off the committee was that they passed away or moved out of the community on them. Well, that might be good. Sometimes we've had some good committees and good people on the committee, and it seems to be working fine. But it develops a problem. The longer a person stays on that committee, the more power they assume. One church I went to, and they had committees, and people stayed on the committee as long as they wanted to, unless they wanted to go off. And some of them tried to get off, but the church wouldn't let them get off. No, you need to serve another year. I had to stay on it until they died or they moved out of the community. This particular church, man, I looked around, and the facilities were great. Everything was kept up to date on the painting, and the walls looked clean, and the classrooms were just immaculate. I mean, it was great. And then I went to put up a poster. I no sooner got my finger close to the wall to pin that thing to the wall, and one of the committee members there, you don't do that. We do not tape anything to the walls. We do not put pins in the walls. It messes up the wall. And we decided to do that. That property committee, being there for so many years, felt like they owned that church. And then as I began to get acquainted with the people, there was a division in the church because of that. Now, does that sound a little familiar with our government? We send people up there to serve our government, and they're there for life. Now, we're smart enough to limit the president and to put him on a term basis. And what has happened? These people that are there for life think they own the government and they don't have to listen to anybody or anything else. And what they say is the way it goes, regardless of what is there. Not that they chose to do that to begin with, but it develops that. And then to have unity, we decided as a government, we would have two parties. At least two, Republicans and the Democrats, the two main parties of our nation. And my, as that's developed down through the years, it's not a unity in our government, it's a division in our government. We've got people that are Republicans that think some of the things the Democrats are doing are right, and they want to side with that. We've got some Democrats who think the Republicans are doing some things that are right, and they want to side with that. But the majority of them, you wouldn't get a Democrat to vote for anything that a Republican does, regardless of how good it might be. You wouldn't get a Republican to vote for anything that a Democrat does, regardless of how good it might be, and you have a great division. And today we have seen how strong that division is, and it limits our government. We're no longer one nation. Think about that now. One nation under God indivisible. Everyone that goes up there, whether they want to call themselves a Democrat or a Republican, ought to be working together as one nation, not one party, over another one, involved with them. Well, we could go on with a number of things on that. But to have unity, to be indivisible with liberty and justice for all, we must emphasize, and I cannot emphasize it strong enough, one nation under God. Under God. Only under God will we not be divided. That's not only true of our nation, that's true of our churches. That's true of us individually. We must come in that unity under God. It's God's word is our standard. Not what we might think about it, not what someone else might think about it, but what is God's holy word. We have a constitution for our nation. And yet today our law, our congressmen and others involved with it, and even our lawyers just say, we don't go by the constitution anymore. We go by the experience and the cases that comes up. And you're never going to have a unity involved in that. One nation under God. Only under God, only under God will we have liberty. We cannot have liberty any other way. Only under God will we have justice. Only under God will we have love for one another. This is a very important factor in unity. It's a matter of forgiveness and love. To be able to forgive one another, to be able to love one another. We might not like their deeds. We might not like some of the actions that they do. But when we have love, then we can become one in unity and be able to respect one another instead of trying to kill one another or destroy one another in the freedom that we have and the liberty that we have. Now, without God's love, you have a love that is destructive. A marriage without God's love will have a love that's destructive. A church without God's love will have a love that's destructive. Sometimes we call that the letter of the law. Sometimes we call that a love of works. When you love someone because of what they do, in other words, if you please me, I'm going to love you. If you don't please me, I'm not going to love you. You're my enemy. When we love on that basis, then we'll destroy ourselves, those around us, we'll destroy our churches, we'll destroy our marriage, we'll destroy our home. We have to have a love of God, a love of choice. God chose to love us. If he would love us by our works, not one of us could be loved. We wouldn't stand a chance. But by God's marvelous love for us, he loved us because he chose to love us, and we must love one another as we choose to love that individual or love our nation. I have chosen to love our nation, and I still love our nation with all the faults and the problems that we're having. God designed this nation, and it was based upon his principles, and I still love our nation. And until we come to that love, and so the pledge again, one nation under God. Only under God can we have that type of love that will bring our nation as one, as well as all the aspects of our life. Now, I can remember as a young person in our schools and coming up, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but still yet, I was taught the principles of God's word. Though my mother and father did not go to church, they did not believe in God, yet they were taught by their parents the matter of some of the principles of God's word. You do not steal. You respect your neighbor. And these principles that our nation is built upon and that we come only from the word of God. And in that, I can remember, and I don't remember a time when we locked the doors of our home. You'd walk off leaving the doors open. And that wasn't because they were old. Today, I leave some of my doors open, not because I think it's safe. I just forget to lock them on that. But back then, that wasn't the case. And if you had an automobile, we didn't even think anything about taking the key out. You left the key in the ignition. We trusted one another. We respected one another. Oh, we had those who would steal. We had those who would commit some crime. but it wasn't the majority. Today, well, let me go on to say, in that day and time, my generation didn't want to be like the generation that was before us. We wanted to dress different, and we did. We wanted to have a different slang than what they did. Every generation has had their own thing that they wanted to do different from the other generations before them. They'd have different music. But in my day and time, though we were to be different in maybe our clothing, maybe some of the words that we would say, we still did not change the basic principles of our nation. Though we wanted to be different, we still had that love, God's love. Though we wanted to be different, we still respected one another, and we were taught to respect one another. And that's what now today, not only do our young people and our children and others want to be different from the others, not only different in what they might wear or what they might sing or what they might say, but in the very principles that our nation was based upon. We need to stand firm in the liberty that we have through Jesus Christ. Those things we do not change. We might change our methods. We might have our technology change. But we do not change the principles. And America needs to realize that this very moment, this very hour. And so the Bible tells us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Not where we made ourselves free, but where Christ has made us free. The Word of God has made us free. And what freedom we have. But there's a warning involved with this. And it says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now you know, and we've seen it, and the Bible teaches us this very carefully, who you yield to, you become a servant. When you yield to sin, you become a servant of sin. We've seen that with all kinds of addiction. Whether you talk about alcohol or drugs, if you start depending on that to give you some ease and some peace, you find that you become a slave to it and crave to it, and it destroys you instead of blesses you. You can do that with chewing gum. You can do that with anything that you have in the matter of a habit and become addicted to it. And where you lose control yourself, we want to talk about that freedom and that we are free. Well, we do have that freedom, but we need to in this nation of free speech. We're not standing fast in that because we've had people in this freedom, not going by the rules of the laws of freedom itself, of God's word, abuse it. Now they say, I have the free speech to curse and to swear and anywhere I want to. I have the free speech to say what I want to say against anybody or anything in that. That's not the freedom that God has given us. Yes, we can voice our opinions and our differences on certain things, but not to the destruction of others. We need to stand fast in the liberty of Christ, of where though that we might be able to voice our opinions, but not to the destruction of others. The freedom to worship. Man, what a blessing it is. Our forefathers came from a country that had a state church. You were to be of this church if you're going to worship. We came over here, they came over here. Not that we'd all be Methodists, or all be Baptists, or all be Presbyterian. No, we came over that we'd have a freedom of religion, and our freedom of religion was not to impose that belief upon someone else. Now listen to me carefully. As we worship God the way we feel that we need to, and that God is teaching us according to His Word, when we worship properly, and we worship with the enthusiasm and excitement of our very soul, that will entice others to come and worship with us. Others will not want to do that. That's fine. They can worship the way they want to. We have the freedom to worship. They're not to impose their religion on us, nor are we to impose ours on the other. And if someone sees what we're doing and likes it, they'll join us. If you see what somebody else is doing and you like it, you'll join it. That's the freedom of religion. That doesn't mean that we have the freedom to impose it upon others and abuse it. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. My, what a blessing we have, and to use the freedom that God has given us and to do all that He has us to do. But the warning we need to realize, be not entangled again with the bondage or with the yoke of bondage. Today, this great nation, more than ever, can think of slavery to slavery. Slavery to everything that you can think of. Slavery to work. Slavery to possessions. Slavery to all kinds of desires of the flesh, of sin itself. We've been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set free because He laid down His life and He gave His life for us. And those who believe in Him and others not realizing what they're doing, especially in our military, have stepped up to the plate to lay down their lives in standing for freedom we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier during the announcements, that I said I'm proud of the fact that you have chosen to honor this occasion the proper way. In our independence, to be able to have this freedom, especially to worship. You're here to worship God. That's the best way to observe this freedom that we have. We're not set free that we don't worship. We're set free that we can worship. And yet we have Christians who are going back into the yoke of bondage again. So we need to remind ourselves of all that's going on. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. In Galatians 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." What happened to that love? What happened to that feeling of helping someone else without any thank you? Of serving someone else, not expecting anything in return, but you see a need and you step up to it and do that. And how that we need to be aware of this, and how that we've been called in this liberty, not for our gain, but to help one another. Our nation was a beacon to the world. People in other countries who were not free in any respect could see a place that they could be free, and they came here to experience that freedom. But then some came to change what was here, not to abide in it. That's the key to it all. We don't come here to change it. We come here to obey God and to serve Him. When our leaders begin to change the law and to change the things that we're doing contrary to the Word of God, then we've lost our freedom. Look at that next verse, verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, many of you can remember the younger days when you helped your neighbor. Man, if a neighbor's house burned, everybody was there to help repair it, put it back up. If there's a tragedy, the neighbors were there. Now, today, you hardly know who your neighbor is. Living right next door, you don't want to associate with them because you're looking at what they're doing and what they're involved in and have nothing to do with it. What happened to our love? See, we need to stand fast in the liberty that God has given us to love one another. And then the next verse tells us, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." I've often said, and I still say it, and it's being emphasized even more so this year than it has. Every year it gets worse in that. I always hate election time. One of the greatest privileges we have is to be able to vote for people that we feel like want to do the same thing that we would have to have done in our governments, whatever it might be. And we would have candidates in the yesteryears of time that would get up and say, "This is what change I'd like to make." Another candidate would say, "This is the change I would like to make." It began then that they would debate some of their changes. Well, my change is better than your change because of this and this. And you'd have a debate on that. And then you had the privilege of going to the polls and voting on it. Now, today, that's not the case in our elections. Our candidates is not only stating what they would like to have done, but they spend more time tearing the character down of their opponent. And all of our candidates are in the business of tearing one another down. Now, let me read that verse to you again. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. As this grows stronger, what happens to our nation? Our nation is being consumed. That's the same thing true in our church. When we begin to criticize one another, what's happened? We're going into that bondage of sin. I talked about addictions a while ago. One of the greatest addictions that really destroys is the addiction of gossip. Well, I don't drink. I don't do these. No. Think about it. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself addicted to gossip, wanting this little bit of information, that little bit of information, not to encourage or to build someone, but to destroy someone, and then to fight, to find fault, and destroy. And so we have to be careful about this, of the liberty that we have and the free speech that we have, that we guard our tongue, we guard our attitude, and not be caught again into bondage of destroying one another. Then verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need a revival. We need a revival individually, where we come back to the principle of God's word individually. We need a revival as a church, that our church makes sure we're standing on the principle of God's word and we're doing what the Holy Spirit would have us to do. We need a revival in our community. Once again, we have that unity in our community and we take pride in our community. We help one another as well as in our state, as well as in our government. Will we stand fast? Our pastor challenged us this morning to set the table. That means to be a servant. Be ready to serve others. We need not only to set the table, we need to serve the food. We need to be faithful in sharing the good news with others and sharing the principle of God's word and standing for that. We need to take our stand, whether anyone else does or not, but take our stand for the word of God that would encourage others to take their stand. And to be able to help one another. And once again, have that freedom. Have that love. Enjoy. But today, it seems as though God might be forsaking America. But I got news for you, He hasn't. I can prove that to you. Now, God's hand has always been on America from the beginning. When you look at America, though we increase in that, it seems as though God's hands might be lifting up off of America. But then look at other nations of the world. Look at the terror that's going on in other nations. Look at the wars that have been fought right there in their cities and their homes being destroyed and all that's going on. If there's ever a fruitful place for a terrorist to do his work, it's America. When you stop to think about it, and the freedom we have here, and the ability to travel freely across our states and to do the things and go places without somebody looking over our shoulder, this is a wonderful place for a terrorist to come to. The freedom to be able to examine things to destroy and what is there. Why hasn't America experienced the terror that other nations are experiencing? The only answer to that is not our homeland security. It's not our National Guard, though God has blessed us with them and they have a place to serve and they're serving and helping. It's the hand of God that's been upon this nation that has kept us protected from terror and other things that would destroy our nation. And the destruction is not coming from the outside. It's coming from within. We are no longer, as Christians, as churches, willing to stand for the Word of God, willing to stay true to the teaching of God's Word. And we as individuals and churches and communities are wanting to go back to the bondage of sin. We're wanting to compromise. We don't want to offend anyone. Someone said, "You're about to scare my children to death." I said, "Well, I'd rather scare them out of hell than to keep them happy and let them go to hell." We need to stand firm in God's Word. Will you stand firm? We need that revival of people who will be committed to God, committed to His Word. And it begins with us and spreads throughout our nation, that once again, we will act as a nation we are. Our pastor did a good job in presenting the fact we are a Christian nation. But the other side of the coin is we're not acting like a Christian nation. That's the problem. And we need to start acting like a Christian nation again. It begins with us. When's the last time you've interceded for our leaders? When's the last time you've interceded for your neighbor, for our nation? We need to come back to where we depend upon God. I've often said, and rightly so, it's becoming true, I said, most people don't want a miracle. I've often said that, wouldn't you like to have a miracle? Most people say, well, I'd like to see a miracle. In order to see a miracle, you've got to be in an impossible situation. Think about that. You've got to be in a situation where there's no way of getting out of it. There's no solution to it whatsoever. No hope except God. I've been praying that America would be turned back to God. And I've been praying that God would perform His miracle. Right now, I'm excited because now America is in that impossible situation. We cannot straighten America out by our means and our methods. We'll not be able to do it, but God can. We're in that situation for God's miracle to be performed in America. And when we will stand fast and stand true to God, He will do His miracle. And America, once again, will act as a Christian nation. Will you let it begin with you? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.